It's good to be in the house of God. It's good for just another opportunity to be with the brothers and the sisters of this faith. I want to read to you today 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Today, I want to talk to you about godly change reflects your level of faith. And I just want to talk to you guys just for a little bit, and just about what's been on my mind and kind of what I've been going through. And it's just at this point in my life, I've just been thinking about change. What change is necessary from me, and not even maybe in a spiritual sense, but just overall, my life is different. I'm not the same person that I used to be. My circumstances have changed. Where I am, where I'm going, my goals, my dreams, my vision, it's not where it was when I was maybe 18 and coming out of high school. Things have changed. More is expected of me. And I keep going and thinking about all these things that I need to do, these things, you know, am I making the right steps? Am I acting accordingly? I'm not the same person I was when maybe Denora met me for the first time. I have a wife now. I'm thinking, am I doing the things that takes care of my wife? I have two children and one on the way. Am I doing the things that allow me to provide for my children, that allow me to give them what they need, not just for the right now, but for their future? And it's just been kind of plaguing me, just the changes that are to come and the changes that need to be made right now and the changes that maybe need to be made in me that I don't necessarily want to make, or I don't necessarily know how to go about making, or I don't know how they'll end up turning out, but I know that there has to be a change. And that's just been kind of going on in my mind these last maybe 6 months. Am I the husband I'm supposed to be? Am I the father I'm supposed to be? When I go to work, am I the leader that I am supposed to be? When I'm outside of this place, am I the reflection of Christ that I am supposed to be? To have a walk with God, it requires a change in us. The same way having a relationship with my wife required a change in me. I can't be the same 18-year-old kid I once was. I can't be the same 23-year-old person that I once was. My priorities have to change. What she expects out of me has to, it changes me. And it has to. But the problem with change is that it's not easy or fun. It is probably one of the worst things that will ever happen to you, and it is the only thing that's going to keep on happening to you forever is change. And nobody likes it. It's not an enjoyable experience having something. And there's different levels of change. There's change that I know that I have to make gradually, and change that I'm preparing on. I still don't like it, but you know, it's under my terms. I'm gradually making those changes. There are those impulsive changes where, you know, New Year's resolution, I'm going to do this, bam. And I promise myself, and I hate myself for the next 3 weeks as I try and fail. And then there's those changes that are thrust upon us that we had no say, we had no control, but there are changes nonetheless that are happening. How many of you have worked a job for so long and you get a new boss? That's a horrible experience. I just got used to the last one. I just figured out what his pet peeves were and how to avoid them. I just figured out his schedule. I knew what day I could come in late, what day I can't come in late. You kind of figure those things out and you get a new boss coming in and you got to figure out a new personality. Every person's not the same. Some people are just very passive, and they're kind of frustrated because you never know what you never know what they want from you. You never know if you're really doing a good job. They're just kind of passive doing it. And if you're a person who needs that kind of affirmation that you're doing a good job, a passive boss doesn't really give it to you often. Yeah, everything. You're always doing a good job. You have the more of those direct bosses who tell you whether you're doing a good job or not. You know, sometimes you can handle it, they hurt your feelings. So you're dealing with a new personality, and they often with them, they bring in a new process. I've been doing this job for 15 years. What do you mean I'm doing it wrong? What do you mean there's another way? How long have you been doing this job? How long have you been in this business? How about a new set of expectations? The last boss never required that of me. The last boss never asked of that of me. I don't understand where this is coming from. See, that new boss, that's the change where it's just kind of thrust on you and you don't have a choice. For a lot of times in my career, just different retail management, I was that new boss. I would have to go into different locations and I would have to strain something up or fix something. It wasn't working right. Sales were down. The store was a mess. Processes are off. Cleanliness standards, failing audits. I'd have to go in there and I would have to change things. And when I first started doing it, I didn't have an approach to it. I just started spotting things that were wrong. Bam, bam, bam. And I started calling them out loud. That's wrong. You're doing it wrong. Stop it. Knock it off. This place is a mess. Who likes to hear that from the new guy? This place is just a wreck. And I learned through that process that all I ended up doing was just upsetting people. And maybe, you know, losing people who could have been of a value, of asset, but losing them because, you know, I was bringing in a change that they weren't able to handle. And I wasn't respectful in how I was making those changes or updating those processes. But whether it's unexpected or not, no one likes to change. Yet, change is a part of our lives from birth till death. That's one big change. Change is all we're going to have, just from growth. I tell everybody, you know, about a brand new baby. Newborns, they're ugly. They just are. And in fact, I don't even go around looking at newborn babies that are wrong. I barely look at mine. I don't look around at them. Because in 6 months, their face is completely different. They are like a completely different person. That's how much change happens. And as you start to grow, their behavior starts to be differently. If there was a 14-year-old acting like a 4-year-old, something's wrong. There was an expectation that you would have grown up and matured. There was a change that naturally happens. Some kids are cute when they're babies. Some kids don't grow up to be cute. There are changes that we can't control. How about in our education? Sometimes when we are just, whether it's Christian education or just regular education, we are just adding bits and pieces of knowledge into what we already know, what we already have established, and it changes the way we think about things. It changes the way we react to things. It changes how we reason certain situations out. That changes us. We're always going through a change. I made another example about relationships with my wife. I can't sit at home playing video games all day. She expects some of my time. My daughters expect some of my time. If I'm sitting down looking at my phone, my daughter says, I want to play with rocket ships. I'm expected to get up and play with her some rocket ships. There is an expectation that a 3-year-old has from me as a father. There is expectation that my wife has of me as a father to my children to behave a certain way. We are constantly changing. But see, these changes we accept. They're gradual, they're over time. No one's really forcing it on us. We're just kind of learning as we go, unless you're not ready for marriage and the wife really has to force it on you. Alexandra will let you know if she had to later. So if we can accept these changes that are always happening constantly in our lives, and at a certain point, we accept the new boss. We want the job. We need the job. We accept the new boss, we accept the new rules, or we make a change ourselves, right? No matter where we're going with it, there's going to be a change that happens, and we've accepted that. But sometimes it is so much harder to make those changes in our spiritual life. It is just so much harder, and sometimes we just believe that we've come to Christ, that was the change that we needed, and He accepts me the way that I am. And so now I'm good. How many times are we in a service And the word of God is read, and our pastor tells us, explains to us, and we think to ourselves, well, does the Bible really mean that? Or sometimes we get angry with a change that's maybe being expected of us in our spiritual walk with God. Why do I need a change? I'm not sinning like I used to. I'm not the same person I needed to be. Why do I have to do more? Why do I have to give up more? Sometimes we get mad. The church is just trying to change me. And we let influence. We complain about the little things and now about our church. And now people outside of our church are influencing us. Don't you let them change you. Don't you let them change you. And we go back to the way again. Jesus accepted me this way. If he accepted me this way, then I'm just fine the way that I am. You're not. He accepted you this way, not to stay that way. He accepted you with your mess. He accepted you with your problems. And he lifted you out of them, not to go back to them. If you're married here, you know, and you met your spouse for the first time, there were things about your spouse you really liked, you really admired, you thought was fantastic. But then you found out there are some things that weren't so great. They weren't so conducive to a good, healthy relationship. Something, no matter how great your spouse was when you met them, they had to change for you to be 5 years into your marriage, 10 years, 15, 20 years into your marriage. Things had to take a change. And sometimes us as Christians, and when I mean sometimes, I mean it's change, so it's always. It's all the time. It's every moment. Change is being asked of us. As Christians, what can we be doing more? Am I who I need to be? Have I put myself in a position where I can continually honor God and deflect the influences that are in my outside world? Because it's not just God's responsibility to deflect the influences in our outside world. It's up to us to put a standard and put a hedge about ourselves so that we can help in that process of not letting those influences affect us. Genesis 12 verse 1 says, "The Lord has said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." What a crazy change. What a crazy change Abram had to make in this moment. God asked him something extreme. Leave your country. Go live in a foreign land that you don't know. So now, what is he thinking about in this moment? He's being directly told from God. There's a fear of living in a different culture, in a different language, in a different set of tradition and values. There's pain of leaving family and friends, a home you've always known. There's risk of the security of what a home brings you, going to an unknown place. But what we don't realize is often with these changes that are coming in our lives, there is a blessing following it. If God's asking us, if he is just pulling at our heart to make these changes, make these sacrifices, there is a blessing. And the Word of God says, it said that Abram's name and his family would be great, that God would give him many descendants, that the world would be blessed through him. So now I'm reflecting on myself at this moment. Lord, am I who I'm supposed to be? Am I who I'm supposed to be to reach my family who don't know God or don't accept God? Am I who I need to be? Have I made the sacrifices enough, Lord, so that my world would be blessed through me? Abraham considered the change. I'm sure he examined what it would cost him. He examined the sacrifice that it would take. And Abraham decided that the blessings were worth that change. The blessings were worth that sacrifice. Can you imagine? You want me to what? leave my family, leave my friends? Most of the time, it's not even that extreme. Stop going here. Don't live this lifestyle. You know, change the type of entertainment that we value, who we're letting influence us, who's in our inner circle. See, it's easy to be a Christian inside of the church. It's easy to be the Christian right here, but it gets harder when you go home. It gets harder when you go to school and at work. And it gets harder when you're constantly surrounded by unsaved friends or family who don't understand you or your choices or why you've chosen God to be your God. So why did Abram have to leave? To go where he needed to go, to be the man he needed to be, there had to be change in his life. And our godly changes support our Christian walk through these hard times. We are going to go through things that will constantly challenge us. It will challenge our faith. It will challenge what we believe in. It will challenge our promises that we made to God. Oftentimes, as a new Christian, we're just so excited and so eager. We get to this altar and we speak in tongues for our first time and we're saying, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you need, it's yours. And oftentimes, God, you know, he gives us that time to just kind of come to church, be faithful, be a part, surround yourself with the body, fellowship. But as our life goes on, we need additional changes in our life if we're going to fend off this world that we're living in, who wants nothing to do with our God. This is an example of somebody who did not accept those changes, okay? So if I'm going to use Abram's example as maybe a new Christian, I came to God, I'm going to do what you said, and God said, make those changes. Listen to this example, Matthew 19 and 16. And behold, one came and said unto me, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Man talking to Jesus. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So I'm hearing two different parts of this person's question right here, okay? In this scenario, this wealthy man had to face a change. He had a value system that already established him in obeying the word of God and obeying the law. But he also had his own system of there was security in the wealth and the money that he had. And if I'm going to be reflective of this person right now, I would say he wasn't a bad Christian. I would say that he was respectful of the law. He knew right and wrong. He tried to do the right things. He tried to be a good example. And honestly, if I was asking this question, if all I wanted to be was saved, and Jesus went through the list of commandments, I could have stopped here. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. Thanks. Walked away. If his only motivation was how to make heaven, and Jesus gave him a list of commandments, and it was things that I have lived my life doing, from my youth, I've been a Christian since all I can remember. I've known these rules, I've known these laws, I've known these examples and best practices. I've known how to look right, how to talk right. If that was all I needed, and that is what he said, I could have said, I am good. Thank you. Great talk. I knew you were the guy. Yeah, perfect. But he went on from that example. He says, what yet I lack. He wasn't really asking for salvation. He just needed to make sure that was good. First thing we need to all do is make sure our salvation is good, that we're in a place that's leading us to heaven. But he wanted more. What else do I need? What else can I do? He wanted more. See, with a deeper walk and a relationship that he wanted, change and sacrifice were required. But the change was too much for him, and he walked away from this next level with Jesus. So maybe this example is for some of our good, you know, some of our more experienced Christians, some of our Christians who were raised in this and grown up in this, who've been living this 5-10 years. Some of these Christians who are like, God, I'm just waiting for you to use me. Lord, I have a burden and I want more. Lord God, what can I do to be used of you? I want to know you more, God. I want to be in your presence more, oh God. I would say, similarly to that wealthy man, who I would say probably was a good Christian, I would say that the saints of God here, we love God, and we know we have to read our word, and we know we have to spend time in prayer. For the experienced Christian, for maybe the older Christian, we know how to say the right things. We look this part, and we're looking for that next plateau, and we're looking for that next ministry of ours. But I give you this warning. I give you this warning for those who are in that phase looking for that next level. You are following the path of the wealthy man when you ignore the instructions of the pastor. When you say that I don't necessarily have to do what he's saying, or when you reason to yourself, I don't necessarily think the Bible is being translated correctly, or I don't know if that's quite applicable to my situation, you're probably following the path of the wealthy man. When you say you want ministry, I want to be used of God, and your pastor urges you to teach a Bible study, and you just choose not to make that priority, you're probably going the path of the rich, wealthy man. I didn't say he left God. I just said he turned away from that new experience, from that new level, from that new calling, from that ministry. When you say, I want to be involved in the kingdom, I want to be involved in what God's doing and going on, but when we haven't joined a small group to be a blessing with just a few. When I want God to use me for my talents, but I refuse to volunteer in a ministry, or maybe I find that one that requires the least and minimal amount of effort. God, I want you to use me, and I want to grow in you, God. I want to grow this relationship, oh God. But if you say the right things in church and know the right things in church, but when you're holding yourself or you're holding your children to a different standard when you're at home, there's a change that you've refused to make. You're probably following the path of the wealthy man. Jesus asked this rich man, give up your wealth. Come and follow me. He asked John and James, Peter and Matthew, to give up all they had and follow him. They changed their lives, their beliefs, their jobs in order to follow Jesus, to become one of his disciples. What makes this man any different if he had left it all? If he had abandoned everything to follow God, if he had decided that this was a change that I was willing to make. Maybe we could be reading one of his gospels today. Maybe we can read some of the miracles that God did through him today. But instead, he is remembered as the person who went away from Jesus. Never mentioned again in the Bible. Never bothered to give him a name. Where are we at our walk with God right now? Is there that one change? And this is what I've been fighting with God. There's that one thing that's just been nagging at me. I have to change this, and I know it. But I have to know it more than just being here at an altar or here in this building. I have to know it when I go home. I have to know it when I go to work. I have to know it when the people around me are not of the same faith. I still have to know that that change still needs to be made. Now, this is where we get to where this change, our level of change, reflects our faith, okay? This is what we have to ask ourselves. Is our faith, is who we are, is what we believe, and is it going to be a part of our lives, or will it become our lives? When faith is part of our lives, we control it. When faith is a part of our lives, we're doing just enough to not feel guilty. Just enough to come to church and hold our head up high. Just enough to say that we've done these things. We are paying just enough in the offering and giving. Just enough there, but we can still afford our lifestyle and do what we want to do guilt-free. But when faith is our life, we cannot do enough for God. When faith is our life, we are constantly looking, Lord, what about me needs to change? What about me needs to go? What about me needs to be sacrificed? What is it in my environment? What is it in my life that needs to be changed? This kind of change comes from removing the focus from ourselves. That's that part-time faith. And putting that focus on solely on Jesus. And on his kingdom, and on his ministry. And when we get to this level, it becomes hard. This kind of change is hard because we're living in a world who is not making this change. And on the outside, it looks happy. How many times have we just not even bothered to think about somebody or what they're going through? But we've tried our best to be a Christian. And no, you know what? I don't do that. I don't live that way. You know, no, I can't go out. I got church tonight. And we try to do the right things. And we found out they come to us. I need prayer. My life's a mess. My life's a wreck. I'm going through it. My marriage is failing. My kids are in trouble. I don't know what to do. The enemy wants to put up a facade, put up this just painting of this beautiful world that's out there if you just left God and everything that he wants for you. And sometimes when we're making these changes, just like Abram, we don't know necessarily where we're going. We don't know what we're going to find. We don't know how we're going to get there. We don't know who's going to be there to receive us. We don't know necessarily where that next meal is going to come from. But the promise is that God doesn't leave you during this change. He doesn't leave you during this time of frustration or scared. And sometimes that's what it is when we're changing. And we're like, I don't know where it's going to come from, Lord, but I'm going to give you more. And Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but this job and his influences, Lord, they're going to cause me to go to hell, God. I have to leave. And I don't know where this next place is coming from, but Lord, I'm putting out my applications and I'm putting in my 2 weeks. Lord, something has to become. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. It's not going to make sense. There are going to be times when you're just trusting in God and we cannot rationalize it enough to where we can figure out how 1 and 2 equals 3 or 1 and 2 equals whatever it's going to end up being. Verse 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. This change doesn't just come out of the sake of change. It comes with a direct vision and a path that God's laid out for you. And if you will make those changes, if you will make those sacrifices, if you will prioritize, Lord, who do you need me to be a blessing to your kingdom? All that change is doing is directing you and moving you closer to that path that he wants you to be on. That path where you're used of God, that path where your family knows him because you've sacrificed. You've sacrificed enough to where you tell them you need to be in church. There's a little bit of authority in your voice. There's a little bit of anointing that's coming down because you've made enough change to when your coworkers say, my life's in trouble, you say, you need to get right with God. There's something powerful about what you're saying. Deuteronomy 31 and 8 says, and the Lord, he is that, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Change is a horrible feeling. Change hurts. It's frustrating. But when we make those steps of change, and we decide to say, Lord, I need to be more of what you've called me to be. He's going to be with you through this process. And we are going to see your level of faith start to grow. And when your level of faith starts to grow, it can impact your world like you've never known. I have family that's not saved right now. I have family that's been in church. They've all received the Holy Ghost, but now they question whether God is real. They question whether they need to do this. And I'm questioning myself, have I changed enough? Have I sacrificed enough? So that when I speak to them again, there is the love of God just behind every word that I'm saying. Wrapping around some authority. And that conviction might be able to fall. If I'm too busy pandering to my family, always trying to be super ultra available to them, and always trying to do whatever I can. I want to spend time with my family, but there's somewhere I need to be on Sunday morning. There's somewhere I need to be on Wednesday nights. I made a commitment to my small group on Thursdays. There are things that God has asked me to do. And sometimes Thursdays aren't convenient. Sometimes I'm running out of work late and I'm racing to my small group. Sometimes some of these changes are not the easiest things for us to do. I don't understand why do I have to be in church every single service. Maybe your presence is going to bless somebody who doesn't know your God the way you do. Maybe it's your testimony that you were just brave enough to stand up and say is going to change someone's world. Maybe when God asked you to sacrifice this, you found this new time to really invest into his word and into his ministry. And when someone came to you with a problem, scripture starts coming back to your remembrance. You're like, well, the word of God says this, and the word of God says this. And maybe with this extra time of things that we've sacrificed, we spent time in prayer, you know, I'm a little more confident. If someone needs prayer, you know what, we can pray right now. Sometimes someone asks us for prayer, and it's a scary thing. Why? Because we haven't practiced. Lord, bless this food. No, wrong time. Lord, there are things in our life that we must sacrifice. And even if I don't get it, there are times when I've sat in those pews and pastors said things and I just don't get it. I had two choices to make. I could say that you are wrong, that you're stretching, that that's not found in my word. Or I can say, God, I am frustrated because why don't I understand what my pastor is teaching? Or I can take it to God, Lord, I want to be on my pastor's page. You've given me a pastor. You've given someone to teach me and to help me to grow. I need to understand what he means. I need to understand what he's saying. Why don't I? Sometimes the changes in our life are going to be hard and they're going to be frustrating, but we can walk away into obscurity. You might be a good old Christian. I don't believe that rich man lost his life. He, from a youth, he did everything he was told to do. I don't believe that he necessarily lost his salvation, but he never made it to where he knew that he needed to be or wanted to be. When he said, "What yet I lack? What more can I do to further this relationship with you, God? What more can I do?" Can't do that. So think about that this week, church. And you all can stand. I'm done. But think about that this week. When God is nudging you for a change, when he is nudging you for a sacrifice, when you feel like, man, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Maybe this isn't where I should be. Maybe this isn't the kind of lifestyle I should have. Maybe when you feel those prompts and those nudges, maybe that is God telling you, you want to be somewhere with me. This is the cost. This is the change. Change is happening right now, every day in our lives. We just mentioned we're looking for a new building. We just mentioned we're getting ready to sell this building. Change has happened in the last year. We've bought out buildings. We've torn down houses. We've added new parking lot materials. Expect change to happen here. What is your part in that? I'm praying for 150 kids in Sunday school. 10 teachers is not enough. The vision of a generational church means I need that same media set up for a youth worship house and a children's worship house. Who's going to run the equipment? And for you young parents, what church are you leaving behind for your children? Who will be the next leaders who are going to help them and show them and grow them? Change is happening whether we like it or not. Lord, let me be on your side of change. Let that change direct my path. Church, it is an honor to call this my home church. And I felt this today because if change is going to happen to Church of Pentecost, change has to happen to every single one of us. So I know God has been nudging you and prodding you and just saying, hey, hey, this is me. Hey, this is God. I do want you to quit it. Give it up. I have something for you. And that's the change that's going to help us grow this place and let this church be a light to this city. Just pray with me today. Dear Jesus, Lord, we give you glory and we give you honor. We're thankful, O God, for your house, O God, that teaches truth and your word, O God. Lord, I'm asking today, O God, change is happening in Church of Pentecostal, Lord, and I'm asking, Lord, that you would let us all be a part of that change, O God. Lord God, that you would sift us, O God, right now, Lord God, that you would help us, O God, make the changes to our lives, O God, that we can live a life, O God, that's not focused on me, O God, but it's focused on you, O God. Lord, prepare my heart, oh God, for change. I want to be a part of the vision of Church of Pentecost and where it's going. Lord God, I give you glory and honor, Lord Jesus. We praise your name because you are so good. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church. You are dismissed.